Alright guys, welcome to Jack of All Trades. I'm Sebastian Milo.
I'm Thomas Mitsnow.
With this show, we hope to bring you a little bit inside the world of sports, keeping it fresh,
funny,
factual,
and a bit controversial.
So let's get it started. First up, with the controversy, Liverpool over Barcelona. Liverpool beat Barcelona in their last game 4-0, and won in the two-leg aggregate 4-3, making it a comeback over Barcelona. And with this, they reached the Champions League finals. This was without Mo Salah or Firmino, two of the best players, arguably. Thomas, many people are talking about this being a historic failure for Barcelona. Would you agree with that, and why?
No question about it. Well, you know, Barcelona's woos have stayed back to 2015, where they lost in the semifinal against Bayern 3-2. And then 2016, when they lost in the quarterfinal against Atletico.
Yeah, Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid, right. And then 2017, the 4-0 loss to PSG, and then 3-0 loss in 2017 as well. So this
has that was been against Juventus, right?
Juventus, right. And so it has been a, you know, ongoing theme for this ball club. But
and then even after the Juventus, when we played Rome,
right?
When my team hosted Barcelona, we beat them. Again, we lost 4-1 in the first leg in the Camp Nou in Barcelona. And then, you know, Barcelona, in all these games that we were listing, they were on top in the beginning. In the first leg, at home or whether it was away, they dominated. And they should have blown these teams out because they're already up 3-4 goals.
Yeah.
That's a very cushioned lead for a team with such value and players like Barcelona. Then they blew it three goals away in Rome to a team that's very average. Hate to say that, but you know, they can't be blowing these leads like that.
What would you say this, you know, all these, you know, playoff, but woos have come from? Where is this stemming from?
Why
have this, like, been an ongoing thing?
To me, looking at it and having experienced at least one of these games, especially the one in Rome, I felt that Barcelona, and maybe not Messi, I think Messi puts passion in and doesn't doubt any player or any team no matter when. But other players on Barcelona's team, maybe like a Luis Suarez and other people, especially on the defense, I think they come in too confident, too cocky. They win dominant in the first leg, and then they kind of lay back and feel that there's no need to go as hard as in the first one.
Right.
And that's when, all right, one goal passes them, two goals passes them. Now things are getting a little dangerous. And then it's too late to already wake up a little bit because the other team is now having the momentum.
Right.
So I think it's all stemming from, one, a lack of coaching. I think, one, Valverde is going to be out. But also, I think it's a thing we see with many sports teams, just especially the good ones. They get too comfortable, too cocky, and then they just lay back and then they face a reality check.
It seems like things have to give to a certain
point. How many times can you do it? I mean, Jesus.
Right, right.
One, two, three, four, five, six times.
Right.
In 4 years. It's ridiculous.
Well, this kind of reminds me of what he's going on with the 76ers right now, right? So,
yeah, true.
Things got to give to a certain point. You can't be stuck in your place of mediocrity so long. And you know, eventually, if you want to kind of get over the hurdle, well, things have to change.
Well, talking about getting over the hurdle, Iker Casillas, thankfully, was able to get over the hurdle of this obstacle that he was faced with. Thomas, tell me a little bit about what happened with Iker Casillas recently in the news.
Yeah, the 37-year-old FC Porto keeper suffered a heart attack during his training, and luckily he has been discharged from the hospital 5 days after suffering this heart attack. The Spain goalkeeper, like I said, 37, was taken ill during a training session with Porto last Wednesday and had to be rushed to the hospital. His future as a professional footballer remains unclear, but he insists that he's very unlucky. He's very lucky and feeling a whole lot better. And this is a quote from the Porto's official website. "A few days ago, I went through a difficult situation, something that can happen at any moment in life, but fortunately, I am fine. I'm grateful and feel that I am very lucky." So, you know, we see this so often, oftentimes in sports, where you see so many of these high profile athletes get into a situation when, you know, their health is at risk. This also goes back to a conversation where what is too much practice to a certain extent. So what do you think on this about this story and the ongoing developments in regard to this?
Well, I mean, to me, I think there is a limit as to how much too much is, especially in sports. I mean, you become almost consumed by this in the sense that your entire life revolves around playing a sport, going in day out, you know, maybe twice a day sometimes, practicing in the middle of the heat in 12 to 2 o'clock, whatever it may be, and your only mindset is thinking about the next game, the next practice, your next performance. And a lot of times when players may not have performed at the highest level, and you know, Casillas is somebody who, he's won the World Cup, he's been arguably the best goalkeeper in the world for many years at one point, and he's in a sense a little bit fallen off the pedestal. And sometimes a lot of players get hit with that almost stress of living up to what they once were. Mm. And like I said, in separate conversations, stress is a thing that is a silent killer, you know?
No question.
And I think a lot of these players, they take a lot of stress in, but don't know how to, in a sense, exert it.
Yeah.
And push that pressure away from them. But something like this, you know, it's a mystery to me always, because soccer players and athletes as a whole, they get checked almost every day medically. This reminds me of a story when I was in Italy recently, where I was there during that time. Davide Astori had a heart attack in his sleep, 30 years old, died. He didn't make it. And it's strange because the guy was checked the day before. You know, it's something that happens all the time, and you hear about it. And a lot of players go through this issue of having almost cardiac arrest, in a sense. It really is. So, I don't know. I find it a bit shocking, but at the same time, I think the silent thing that cannot be picked up is stress.
No question. Fine.
Well, moving on. Talking about stress is referees and people in authoritative positions in sports. There's been a lot of pressure on these guys lately on what is that double standard in sports. Sometimes these arbitrators and referees call a lot of plays in the positive for that player who might be the superstar, who might have the big name, who might bring in the most attention. And you saw it, you said, in the MLS. Tell me a little bit about that double standard that we're talking about.
Right, it was a lot of times. So, you know, we've seen, you know, a lot of times, vibrant personality, you know, who does antics once in a while. But sometimes it feels like his passion kind of gets overboard. And so, like you said, at times it feels like the MLS has a double standard because due to the fact of Zlatan being this vibrant personality who attracts so much money, attracts so many publicity, fans that never watch the MLS, but you know, due to the fact that Zlatan is on this world stage, to a certain degree, he's able to attract so many viewers and people who are would watch the MLS. So this kind of goes back to a double standard I see in the NBA. You know, I think the closest thing what's going on with MLS is what's going on in the NBA, where you have athletes like LeBron James and KD. So those types of players that get calls in their direction, and maybe a Patrick Beverly won't get that same type of call, because LeBron an offensive type of player, KD offensive type player. So they might not get the same type of calls that a Patrick Beverly might get.
But do you think that's something that's fair, or should everyone be held to the same standard no matter who you are?
Morally, right. Everyone should be held to a certain, standard. But, but a KD or a LeBron James might attract,
So you think it's more important about the business and about the entertainment of it, or
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying morality. I think morality at the end of the day, I think every single person should get the same type of foul call.
But do they?
Like the James Harden, right? When you see him get fouled on a jump shot, he pushes the defender towards him and he just shoots. That's a foul call right there. But a player, but he has so many different types of techniques where another player won't be able to attract those same type of foul calls. It's because he knows how to use the game in his
direction. He knows how to manipulate.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and is that right, though?
It's not right, but he's able to do it because he's James Harden. He's a world-class athlete. So like I said, Patrick Beverly won't get that same type of, because he's not gifted like a James Harden is. You know, no disrespect to him, but you know, Patrick Beverley is, you know.
But I think that's the thing. I think these players are gifted in the sense that they are given an additive
gift
to their game. They're given a gift in the sense that they are overlooked in some of the things they may do. And speaking back to the MLS, there's been many instances in this season where Ibrahimovic has done things that arguably could be at least a yellow or red card.
Like he slapped, like who was it?
Yeah, he slapped some guy. You know, he just things
in
he
the
says,
back of the head.
Whatever he does, those are things that any other player, for the most part, would be booked for. And I think, yes, if you lose Ibrahimovic for 2 games because of a suspension, you lose 2 games worth of the maximum capabilities of jersey sales, attendance, and all that type of stuff. I mean, there was a game last year here in Philadelphia. Ibrahimovic was announced that he was going to come on the trip. Stadium sold out. Next week, when LA Galaxy went away to another team, he was not announced to come to the game, and the stadium was practically empty. So it goes to show how much somebody like that means, but at the same time, how do we separate the business from the actual sport, you know? And what is too much?
Right. Well, that remains to be seen, but things won't change.
Absolutely. Well, talking about change and all of that, there has been a change to the June 1st fight with Anthony Joshua, as we announced prior. Jerome Miller was suspended, PEDs. And Anthony Ruiz Jr. is coming in to fight Anthony Joshua. To me, I think a lot of this change has changed the dynamic of the fight. It's become a bit of a forgotten fight. And Thomas, do you think this fight is still going to live up to the hype? And do you think this is, in a sense, a bad position for Anthony Joshua to be? Not because this is his fault. I just mean that he might not get the maximum amount of attention and entertainment and money that he should deserve because people on the other side are messing up.
I think for Anthony Joshua, I mean, first of all, he's in New York City, Mecca, MSG, like I said. And so I don't think there'll be some, you know, people who won't come to the fight just the fact of, you know, Gerald Miller, Big Baby Miller is not, you know, fighting against him. But I don't think Anthony Ruiz Jr. is, I don't think he's no joke as well.
I like him, yeah. I think he's a very good fighter. I watched his training, and damn, like, he's a good fighter.
No question about it, so.
He just doesn't physically look like that type of guy. Like, obviously, same weight as Joshua, but two guys who carry completely different physiques.
Yeah, we all wanted to see Big Baby versus Anthony Joshua at the end of the day. But I think what this fight will bring is just this kind of fervor that Anthony Joshua brings. You know, I think he will just go the length, knock him out real quick, and just show how just the type of fighter that he is. And remind people that, you know.
Ironically enough, I think this is actually a positive for the fight.
Mm.
And the reason why I say that is because now looking at it, clearly Jerrell Miller didn't really have the same work ethic as Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, that's why he failed 3 drug tests.
Yeah, but my point is he took it as a joke. And this is his first real contention against a real fighter for a world title. So he overlooked that. He took it as a joke. When he, if anything, should be the one who would be working the hardest.
Right.
Because he's the one who nobody expects anything from.
True.
Yet, it goes to show how important Anthony Joshua is to the sport, because he's the type of guy who's been on the top of the pedestal, yet works harder than every other person below it to stay up there.
Right.
And I think someone like Anthony Ruiz is an example of a fraction of what the work ethic of Anthony Joshua is.
Yeah.
He's an underdog. But he's taking every stride to be the best possible fighter to contend against Anthony Joshua. And this is why I think it's going to be really important and a really good fight, is because this guy knows he's getting an opportunity of a lifetime, something that might not have come to him.
Yes.
And it really wasn't, because he wasn't even backup option after Miller.
Right.
Backup option after Miller was Luis Ortiz, King Kong.
Mm.
But because Eddie Hearn and some issues with the money, there was a misinterpretation on the other side, on Luis Ortiz's side.
Yeah.
They said $5 million, and they misunderstood. That's what they wanted. That was offered.
Right.
They messed up. The deal fell apart, and now it's Anthony Ruiz's turn. But I think it's a good opportunity for him. I think he's going to showcase his capabilities at the end. Yeah, Josh is still going to dominate, but yeah. I'm excited for this fight, actually.
Me as well.
Well, talking about showcasing abilities in baseball news, somebody who maybe has not showcased everything, or maybe he has, but he doesn't have enough to showcase, Tim Tebow. Talk about him a little bit, Thomas. What do you have to say about him? Just as a person, just as a baseball player.
I think he's a good guy overall, but... Tim Tebow, I remember he started on this journey in pursuit of his MLB career, where his football career didn't go the way that he wanted. So and so he went on to pursue MLB just because of the fact that his name is Tim Tebow. He was able to kind of get the,
and he wasn't a bad player. Like,
yeah, he wasn't bad.
He's an athlete. He's good. He's good.
But what I was trying to say was, he was able to get opportunities that someone else would have gotten. He hasn't played the game of baseball since he was in college or even high school, I believe.
And
so
he got that opportunity, and don't get me wrong, he wasn't doing that bad. I mean, prior to his injury, he was hitting .340 with Binghamton last year, and he did get a bone injury in his hand. And after that, since his injury, he's been hitting .132. Has 32 strikeouts and has played only in 23 games, all that stat line in AAA. Mm. Now, to give him a positive, this injury, a hand injury in baseball is vital.
Yeah.
And it takes sometimes over a year. He's still not even close to that number yet, a year with this injury, to recover. Talking about this, to me, Tim Tebow's a name with weight, but a future worth dropping, in a sense. And I say that because, yes, like you were saying, he brought himself into this sport because of the name. And people expected him to have some talent. And I think he has some talent to be able to keep up with these guys. But does he have enough talent, in your opinion, to go up to be a Major League Baseball?
Well, the stats speak for themselves. But that is yet to be seen. We'll have to see how he bounces back from this.
Do you think it's possible to be seen? I mean, he's 32.
It's a Mets.
He's 32 years old.
It's a Mets.
Don't get me wrong, he's persistent and all that, but at 32 years old, it's an age when a lot of most big leaguers start to fade out.
He probably will be, for example, if the Mets were out of the playoff picture to a certain extent, what the Mets might do is, in the last few games of the regular season, just call him up, say Tim Tebow will play these last few games, for entertainment purposes.
Then my question is, going off that, do you think Tim Tebow adds value as an asset to the Mets, and in what sense?
Only the Mets. I mean, if you're talking about,
he can add value to a garbage team in the MLB?
What type of value? No, you won't.
Why?
Because that's garnering attention towards him where the other players should be. So if he were to go to the Yankees, that would become a disservice for the team.
I don't think it would do a service for the team because the Yankees have bigger names than Tim Tebow.
That's what I'm saying. So if you were to go, give me another name. If you went to the Los Angeles Angels, where you have Mike Trout.
Still not big enough. I'm talking about a team like, I don't know, the Rays or a bottom of the pack team, the Orioles. I mean, he's a bigger name than anyone on that team.
I don't know. I really don't know. The only thing I see him being is an entertainment value. That's all I see. Being an asset where he could help out a major league team. That's yet to be seen. But we have seen that, there's been times where Tim Tebow is out, he pulls
off.
Well,
then do you think that having a player as an asset for his entertainment value for a team, is that justifiable in taking that position over somebody who might be talented as a player?
No.
So you don't think it's valuable at all?
I'm not saying at all. I'm saying,
then in what sense?
It depends on the circumstance.
Like what?
I feel like this keep we saying the same thing over and over again. But what I'm saying is, for the New York Mets, for a franchise that's in New York, that's not able to live up to the standards of the New York Yankees, who have won 27 World Series or whatever number, 28, 27, whatever the number is. For a team like the New York Mets, I don't think if you went to Tampa Bay, for example, I mean, that's in Florida. If you give me another name, I don't see that becoming, that might just attract more fans, but what is that going to do for the long run? That's really going to stunt the franchise's growth to maybe pursuing what they, ultimately want to be pursuing.
It's an asset for the moment, not for the future. That's my
right
point.
That's all I'm saying. So, what?
So you think like someone like in basketball, like Jimmer Fredette, where not really a great player, but he became something when he went to China, big name because he was a former NBA player, went to China, and is probably one of the top played players in China.
Right.
Somebody like Stephon Marbury, who with the Knicks, adequate. I mean, it was average, but he also had a pretty big name. I mean,
he played for the Celtics as well.
But that, those guys had more entertainment, if anything, than actual talent. I mean, I can see.
Well, they're not names as Tim Tebow.
No.
And this,
no.
And but Jim Fredette, I mean, at least but Jim Fredette's example, he went to China, came back, he got signed with the Phoenix Suns earlier this season. So, he paid his dues. What Tim Tebow is doing is, he played one sport, played football. That didn't work out for him. He was not an NFL quarterback. He was just an athlete. That didn't work out for him. People were saying that he should become, you know, a scout guy, someone who played maybe on the defensive side of the ball or something like that. He did not want to do that because he believed he was a quarterback. That didn't work out. So then he said, oh, all right, because I'm Tim Tebow, no disrespect, you know, if I had a name like that, everyone would, you know, would want to pursue it. And he has a passion for baseball, to my estimation, I believe. So he said, all right, let me go ahead and pursue baseball, a game that I enjoy, that brings back to my, you know, youth to a certain degree. So he went out, pursued it. New York Mets, AAA team gave him a call. He was able to do that. And he has friends around the MLB. I believe the guy who plays with the Nationals, they train with one another. So he has connections within MLB. So at the end of the day, yes, he's all he is an entertainment value. He has proven things to me that he has proven me wrong to a certain degree when it comes to the AAA level, you know. But he still has a whole lot to improve.
I think, yeah.
There's so many proven commodities in the, you know, MLB ranks with AAA and so forth that don't have a name like Tim Tebow, but are working their way up. And all Tim Tebow at this point is doing is stunting the growth of franchises around the league who are stupid enough to pick him up, no disrespect, but
I think at the same time, yeah, he has the entertainment value, and I think he's a better athlete than many, maybe, players at that level, like AA, AAA, but when you come late to the party, you kind of miss a lot of things.
Sure.
So, at 32 years old, I think he's capable of maybe doing something for a short period. But is it really worth keeping, knowing that he's only going to be able, if anything, best case scenario, do it for a short period? I don't think it is.
Right.
Well.
And this is not the only career he's pursuing. He's still commentating for
ESPN.
Well,
that's my point. His fallback can always be ESPN. That's a thing that he was good at.
And the question I have for you is, if he was really that good of a baseball player, and if he was capable of, you know, making it to the major leagues, why was he not drafted by... I mean, there's so many rounds in the MLB draft. So why did he get picked in the MLB draft while
he
was
playing college?
Well, you can still have, you know, you have high school and
be
drafted.
Yeah, but he devoted himself to football.
All right, so, point. I mean...
Like, he literally pretty much said, my only passion here and my only drive is football.
But I mean, there's so many... you see so many times that an MLB team picks up, you know, NFL guy, knowing that the fact that he won't be... You know, he won't play one game for the MLB, right? So we saw that with Russell Wilson and so many other.
I think it's a different time now, though, than even from when he played years ago.
Yeah, but
I think nowadays they're
13 years.
Yeah, well, that's a long time,
right?
In sports. A lot changes. That's an eternity.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, speaking of change, it's time for us to change it up and turn it off. Time for us to shut that all up. Thanks for tuning in to Jocko All Trades. I'm Sebastian Milo.
I'm Thomas Snow. Thank you guys for tuning in.